All right, Woody. And we got some news breaking here this morning that's just coming out as Omar Kelly joins us from the Miami Herald Dolphins columnist. Chris Greer is going to be working, got a job with the Lions as a personnel executive.
Cool. So,
yeah, Chris landed on his feet while the Dolphins are paying him. That would be somebody else we're paying while they're working for somebody else. Hey,
offset language, that means you pay less.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's do that one with Tua. So Tua's going to make 53 minus 1.3. Yeah, we're still paying a lot of money. Hey, Omar, just wanted to get your take yesterday on overall on what you saw, even though they were practicing on the far field. Hopefully we get them on our side if we get this practice in without rain and lightning and thunder today. What'd you think yesterday from last week to this week?
A lot of things that saw continued, but then I also saw some running plays, which was very interesting when they went to 11-on-11s. That was encouraging. I thought that Malik Willis did a lot better from execution standpoint. He scrambled around. He found I think it was a Tolbert. Basically,
yeah, he did catch Tolbert on one. He did, yeah,
yeah, and it was good. It was good, solid day. I mean, I know his first pass was an interception to Juju Brents, but you know, I thought he had a solid day. And Quinn continues to catch my eye. Continues.
He does.
To,
Quinn Ewers looks good. I'm glad I wrote that down because people think I'm a Quinn Ewers hater, and I'm not. He's throwing the ball really well. I noticed that last week, and I should have said something. Yeah. And that's just watching him throw, and he looks good. Arm looks strong. He's been accurate. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
He makes aggressive throws. He throws aggressive passes, which is
I think those three games really helped him last year, Omar, getting all that playing time. I think no matter what system, just getting a chance to get out there.
Yeah, he said his head's no longer swimming. He's treading water now, which is a great thing. In terms of the offense, it's not the same, but there's a lot of carryover, and they have their subtle differences in terms of how they like things. But the fact that Quinn has been here and he knows the offense a little bit better, it benefits him. I'm curious to see if actually playing with receivers and weaponry that he's familiar with benefits
him as well. That's a good point because his guys that he was throwing to last year are on the football team. You're right. Hey, I do want to ask you. I always go by Jeff Hafley, and guys, he makes it a point to talk about. Man, he's been raving about Malik Washington, first of all, and I knew this from last year, and I brought it up this morning, Omar, with Mike last year as a head coach. Malik Washington picks up things quickly, man. You can put him anywhere, and it's like you tell him once, and it's like, dude, he doesn't make mental mistakes. And so he's really been raving about Malik Washington, the wide receiver.
Yeah. I don't know if raving, but yeah, Malik is clearly ahead of the rest of the pack. Probably Jalen Tolbert also in terms of chemistry. I think they're at the point where they're probably going to try to experiment with Malik doing other things outside of playing slot receiver. And I think that's a wise move. Malik has some talent. He's proven he's an NFL player. Now, has he proven he's number one or number two wide receiver in the league? Well, you know, that's to be determined.
Hey, Omar, I would love to see, and we saw him lined up over on our side. The defensive guys were over. That Juju Brents, I forget how big a guy he is. If he could stay healthy, he played really well before he got injured last year after they picked him up. Well, I'll tell you what, that would sure, you know, we talk about these guys, they're getting their chance. And if he can stay healthy, he's just got a little something to him. Like, I know I can play, and he's absolutely a physical guy. Do you feel that way with him too?
No question. He moves differently than everybody else. He's clear cut. My favorite to be the starter, probably quarterback number one. The problem that we have is he has never stayed healthy in his NFL career. Right. And you know, I don't know how you fix that for players, to be honest with you. Maybe you got some magic recipe, but, you know, you're playing and your foot breaks. You know, yeah. how is that your fault? But you know, you didn't break your foot, but that's what's happened to Juju Brents. And he is very linear, long and lean. But he moves well. He like kind of plays like a praying mantis. It's all over the place.
I don't know where Storm Duck is right now. I know he's
not rehabbing.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know how long before he's going to be back. I was trying to thank you for saying it the right way here, but I would not be surprised if we started this year, Juju Brents, Chris Johnson and Jason Marshall as three corners.
Absolutely.
Three and one guy inside. You agree with that? That could be your.
Absolutely. Those are probably the front runners to be the three cornerbacks.
Who joins Dante Trader back there? Is that guy on the team? And let's just play the guys that are on the team right now.
Who joins Dante Trader? Zane Anderson, which is a guy I've requested to talk to today. He's a guy that obviously comes from Halfley, the Green Bay days, and been a special teamer out there. And this is a young man who probably knows his system and his scheme, and he seems to be going to be get the first crack at that safety spot. And then obviously Lonnie Johnson Jr. Is in play as well. The one thing I love about this situation is they're not playing favorites. If you want it, come get it. And everybody has an equal opportunity to prove themselves. Yes, they want to see things out of certain players, especially the highly drafted players like Chop Robinson, who, by the way, has told us that he's putting on weight.
Saw that.
His goal is to be 265 pounds, which is great. He said Austin Clark is all over his backside. He's on me about everything, and I've seen that, and that's what we can expect from Austin Clark. Austin Clark is gonna get you better.
They get after it. By the way, Bo kind of got my head going that way. He goes, watch those guys in these drills or the defensive line. They're going full speed over there, and I was like, wow, you were right. I want to ask you because Jeff Halfley said a lot of nice things about potential and what he expects of Chop Robinson. What's your take on Chop Robinson and what Jeff Halfley had to say about him? How he's going to use him? His expectations for him are high, and by the way, playing first, second, and third down.
Sure, that's the goal. That's the vision. We're putting on weight to do so. Hopefully, it's not just bad weight. Hopefully it gets stronger as well. I don't think Chop's work ethic has ever been the question. It's just a matter of can he get the job done as an edge setter, and we won't know that for quite a while. But I think he's going to do everything in his power to get better and be positioned to do his job. But keep in mind that's not the only edge setter that you need to find. You got to find another one.
You're right. That's just one. I agree, but we're so, you know, Chop's always at the top, and you know Kenneth Grant's another one that's everybody talks about because they're both first round picks over the last couple of years.
I heard he had a good practice yesterday. I didn't really necessarily pay attention to it, but I'm curious. I just want to see Kenneth Grant come into camp in one of the best shapes of his life, and it doesn't help when your two other draft mates have completely unbelievable. One's got an unbelievable body. One's completely redefined his body. And then there you are. So, you know, that's part of the thing, Joe, when you get drafted with peers at your position. And I've always loved that. I learned it from Jeff Ireland. That puts added pressure on everybody. It's like an internal pressure cooker for all those guys. And unfortunately, usually the second guy drafted is the one who turns out to be the best.
I always disagree with you on one thing with the defensive lineman. You cannot go by bodies. We've seen some guys, especially play inside with the belly, that have been really good players.
I don't have a problem with people who play with bellies.
There's been some really good guys that didn't necessarily, when they took their shirts off, you went, wow, I can't, that doesn't match up.
I mean, I didn't go wow when Christian Wilkins took his shirt off. It's not a wow thing. I'm just, you know, it's the work. Are you putting in the work? And I don't think Kenneth Grant will ever be slim and sexy. But the question is, are you putting in the work necessary to live up to your potential?
It's hard, though, when you got the energy of the coach who's got a great reputation. You got Zach Sealer and all those guys. Mm-hmm. How do you not get caught up to work just as hard? It's almost like he doesn't have a choice because now he realizes nobody cares. You're a first-round pick and you got a big signing bonus. Bro, this is on now, man. And, like, Zach's pushing you. You got mm-hmm. the guy next to you that everybody's raving about. He and Trader have been the talk of early on of just how good they've been.
Absolutely.
So, like, how do you not go, damn, I got to get rolling with this, right?
I don't disagree with you. And you know, but it's up to everybody. Everybody's got an internal thing that drives them. And hopefully yours makes you a workaholic, Joe. And you know, that's who you are. That's how you're wired. It's not everybody's got that thing. Joe.
No, everybody works differently. I get it, but he's just obviously got so much talent, which I have talked on a morning walk during football season last year
mm-hmm.
with our defensive line coach, who's a Golden Bear. And, we talk and he goes, he's got crazy talent, man. It's real. Like all right. I want it. Like you remember who wanted him. His coach is the one. His coach was jumping up and down when they got him. He goes, you know, we did all the work on him, and they think, you know, Kenneth Grant's got a chance to be one of the special. I know we have to see it, though. I'm not disagreeing, but like everybody's aboard. It's there to be taken.
Jordan Phillips, the first version of him, he had a ton of talent as well. You just couldn't get it out of him.
That's true. That's true. No, and by the way, some teams did. Dallas didn't.
Some teams didn't. Some Buffalo accepted him being lazy. That's why he
made some plays for him.
Made some plays for his offense. We just had to accept him being lazy.
No. He was one of those guys that the original guy is he was. Boy, you could get to him. It was amazing. Like of all the guys that you were renting space in his head, like we walked by and he's coming off and he's just off practice, and he just went after a two-hour hard practice, and he still got another one to go, and he'd just be looking over at you, and I go, dude, don't you have other things to worry about than Omar calling you out for taking plays off and not, like, with all the talent. He did have, by the way, ridiculous talent.
He had ridiculous talent.
Yeah. So you'll put up, by the way, if a guy got ridiculous talent and he's a part-time, he gives it to you part-time, even though you don't like it, you'll take the full-time part of it knowing that he's got times you're like, how is this guy kicking your ass?
He has tried so much with so many other teams, and he just – Buffalo, the only team that accepts him for who he is. And he
made some plays for him.
He did
make some good plays for him. Hey, we've got mini camp today and tomorrow, and and then next week a few, and then – you expect to make a lot of changes on the 90, or do you think mostly these guys? I know we added Jalen Reagor, wide receiver.
I love that because don't ignore what you're seeing. Don't ignore what you're seeing. And I love that sign. It sends a great message. Don't ignore what you're seeing. You're seeing receivers not making plays.
Yeah.
Okay. Go do something about it.
Right. It's a great opportunity for him. I mean, he's bounced around pretty good, but this is another chance for him.
Now he'll probably enter here, probably the most experienced receiver on the team. Like, okay. It's another opportunity. The Giants just signed Odell Beckham, who we saw here was done. Stick a fork in him. Done.
He was more into a social media guy in the parking lot and those one-handed behind-the-back catches and warm-ups that he had all those guys doing. He got some great social media stuff down here for all. Yeah, you think he's done, or does he?
Oh yeah, he had not. I liked him, but when I watched him on the field, he was done. I don't know if it was a knee injury that he was coming back from. He was cooked. And then they signed Braxton Berrios too. Never really been a Braxton Berrios.
They
did.
You're right. No, they signed a. They're signed a lot of.
Juju Smith-Schuster,
Oh my God,
they
all three of them.
They got a TikToking team over there. TikTok and Dayton social media girl team.
Yeah, they'll be good at that. All those influencers see a lot of those around trying to outdo each other on the sideline. No question about it. Hey, Omar, thank you, man. I'll see you out there in a little while. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, you should get Hollywood come out there, watch some action.
Now, Woody been talking trash about some of those riders. He can't show up out there.
I got to make peace with him and Joe Shad. I could make it happen.
Joe's fine. Joe's fine. Yeah, Joe's all right. Hey, all right. Thanks, Omar. We'll work on
it. I can work on peace, Woody. I can make it happen.
What do you want to take any more jabs at anybody?
I don't want any trouble. I hope you guys get rained out today, actually.
Oh, that's great. That's a nice thought. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks, Omar.
All right, guys.
All right. All right. Welcome back here on a Friday, 8 o'clock hour. Always great having time with Dave Hyde. And of course, all day, Dan Day filling in. And joined this morning by Dolphins columnist for the Sun Sentinel, Chris Perkins. Perk, how you doing, man?
Oh, fellas, I'm doing good. I was just telling Dan Day I don't have to go anywhere today. So I got podcast at noon. I got to write a column later on, but I'm staying home today on this cloudy day.
Hey, Perk, before we get into what you're going to be writing about and talking about on the podcast, I came out this morning and just watching off what the coaches have said and talked about, who's lining up in certain areas and the way you guys, the guys you're getting, the guys that are being thrown to. I'm about 60. I think I might even be 70% on who's going to be starting for the Miami Dolphins. And I know there's still more days left in the offseason. We still have next week. We still have camp. We have preseason. And I still would tell you I feel pretty good about who's going to start on the defensive line at the tackle positions, the starting five on the offensive line, the two tight ends, the safety, the three starting corners, even the guys are going to play at wide receiver. Now, outside of the first two, I'm not sure. I think there's stuff. But you agree, Perk, we still got a pretty good eye who the one and two quarterbacks are going to be, that we got a pretty good idea at this point, or you still think it's wide open?
No, I agree with you, Joe. This is not going to be a high-quality team, but it's I think the starters are, yeah, I agree with you. The starters are pretty clear at this point. We'll see what happens when the pads come on. But they have a lot of high draftees. They have a lot of, experienced guys for these starting positions. And there's kind of a clear difference between the starters and the reserves, right? So I think that you're correct. When you look at some of these guys, when you look at how it goes at corner from Juju Brents and Jason Marshall Jr. and Chris Johnson.
Yes,
right to the there, rest man. Of the group, right? Right. Ethan yes. Bonner and the rest. Yeah, you're right. You're right from that standpoint. I agree.
All right, who's the receivers? You name the cornerbacks. Do we have receivers?
Yeah, yet? I want to hear this one. This would be good. Yeah.
I would, Malik Washington is definitely going to be a starting receiver. We'll see what happens with Tutu Atwell, who can also be a starting receiver. We'll see what happens with Jalen Tolbert also. Those are the three that I think right now that would probably be the starters, even though Malik and Tutu are both kind of slot guys. Kevin Coleman Jr. Is coming up, a rookie draftee. I can't remember the round he was drafted. I want to say maybe the fifth round. I'm most excited about Chris Bell, who is still injured. We'll see what happens with Caleb Douglas. They're both third rounders. But right now, I would say that Tutu and Jalen Tolbert and Malik have been the best three receivers out there.
Those are the ones that get targeted along with Dulcich all the time. That was
right. Malik Willis knows where his bread is buttered right now, Joe. He's not dumb.
And I'm going to take it a step further. Coaches can say whatever they want, but whoever the quarterback's throwing to and feels comfortable throwing to, those are going to be the dudes that are playing three wide, four wide. Those are going to be the guys that they're going to put out. They're going to be on the same page by the time the season rolls around with a QB saying, I like going to this guy, and I feel comfortable going for the off-season workouts and the whole deal. Hey, by the way, it's really interesting. we talk about Malik Willis, obviously very important, and he's going to be the starting quarterback, but Quinn Ewers has looked really, really good. What do you think?
Yeah, he has. I think he's definitely taken a step up from last season. I think a lot of those draftees, the 2025 draft class has taken a step up. We'll see how good they turn out to be. But unfortunately for Quinn, he's got zero chance at being the starter. Zero. These guys, Sully and Half, John Eric Sullivan, the GM, and Jeff Hafley, the coach, brought Malik Willis from Green Bay for a reason.
That was
they gave him a four-year, $67.5 million contract for a reason, and that reason is to be the starter, to be the face of this rebuild. So, and again, that's a critical point, right? This isn't just a season. This is a rebuild. This is the first step in a very important step for Sully and Half. So, yeah, they're going with their guy, unfortunately. But Ewers, he's spinning it out there. He definitely looks like he's taking a step up from his rookie season. So, if something happens to Malik, I think you can put Quinn Ewers in there and feel fairly confident.
I agree. That's good. That's well put. Yes, I agree with you. Good stuff. Yes.
All right, Perk. We had our first, that I saw anyways, football power rankings out. ESPN put it out.
Right. Well, that's no surprise.
It's no surprise.
I don't think it's shocking to anybody.
Can it change?
We're
my
dead
question.
Last is what?
The Dolphins 32nd, Jets 31st, Browns 30th. Can it change this year? They're working with about less than half the salary cap of any other team.
Right. Yeah. No. It can definitely change, and we don't know what this team is as far as a win loss record. So, and I stress again, the point of the season is not the win loss record. Although, I don't want to see a 2 or 3 win season because that's going to raise questions about Sully, Half, and Malik Willis. The point of the season is, do you have the right people in place, starting with Sully, going to Half, going to Malik Willis, and do these players that you have the right attitude? When I talked to Half a couple of days ago, he said the two most important things that he's done since he's been hired are culture and establishing a standard. That's what this season is about. So, but having said that, maybe I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league. And Aaron is a candidate for that. There's a couple of, that you mentioned the Jets. I think the standard is 5 wins. And I say that because people want a number, and that's what Flo did in that awful 2019 rebuild. So I think if Flo can do 5 wins, we can expect Half to do 5 wins, but if he doesn't, it's not like, they're going to fire him or anything like that. It's just they didn't get 5 wins, but do you have the right people in place? That's the point of the season.
To me, the standard is what the Patriots did 2 years ago, 4 wins, when they had a questions across the board, but they found their quarterback, and then they went out and spent $190 million in the offseason and went to the Super Bowl.
And spent it well.
It's a 2-year rebuild if it works. If it works, it's a 2-year rebuild.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Patriots did it. Denver turned it around really quickly. Jacksonville has turned it around really quickly. I mean, these things are going on around the league. I mean, you look at Dan Campbell turned Detroit around. That was a multi-year thing, but and maybe they peaked already. But there are 2 and 3 rebuilds, 2 and 3 year rebuilds going on around the league. And that's what I'm looking for the Dolphins. Like, this is your kind of, free pass season, your scholarship season. But next season, you need to start compiling some wins. And again, as I've been telling people, with Malik Willis, the clock is ticking because if he has 2 good seasons, he's going to start wanting $50 million and $55 million a year as a starter, like most of them do. And then instead of having a good amount of money to spend in free agency, the Dolphins will have just the same amount as everybody else. So at that time, you've got to really hope that this draft and develop plan is working, because if not, you're going to be stuck in mediocrity again, quite honestly.
Perk, I got to ask you about the 3 hot names everybody talks about. And I look at you guys sometimes and I go, all right, you feel any better about them? You're ready for do you feel any better about them? Grant.
Let's do it.
Grant, defensive.
Yeah. Yeah, KG, I'll tell you this, Joe. When I look at individual drills and they aren't wearing pads and they aren't doing a lot of active 11 on 11, so this is what you have to judge them on. Kenneth Grant looks good hitting that practice sled and going over the dummies. He looks athletic. He looks aggressive. He looks confident. He looks like a NFL starting defensive tackle compared to last year when he looked like a rookie and he was a little bit sloppy in his technique. Yes, KG looks better in individual drills, definitely.
All right, right guard, Savia Nyack. I'm so tired of hearing about his last, he was the last ranked guard and better right guard so far. What do you think? I know, again, him put pads on and all that. Does he look more comfortable?
He looks more comfortable, but I'll be honest. I haven't watched Jonah a whole lot. I've watched KG. I've watched Caden Proctor. I've watched a lot of other interior guys aside from Jonah, but he looks a little bit more comfortable. He looks a little bit better in individual drills, but I'm not sold on Jonah quite yet.
All right, so you heard the comments on the third guy. Halfley talked a lot about chop and different numbers and nine technique, the five inside, up, down, all around, and potential of what this guy can do. Do you feel better about Chop Robinson from what you've seen out there? Bo is not a fan.
Yeah, I still haven't been convinced by Chop. He looks better, but I'm kind of in that Jonah school with him that I haven't really – focused on him. When I see him in individual drills, he looks better. He's put on some muscle. He told us he added like maybe 6 or 7 pounds of muscle, but I haven't seen anything from Chop that makes me think, oh, okay, now, he's going to start producing. Look, Chop was a low sack guy his last year at Penn State, and he's been that his first 2 years in the NFL. I don't think that Chop is ever going to be a 10 sack guy. But if he can do what Halfley said and become a complete player, a three-down player, that helps the Dolphins tremendously. So to me, that's the goal for Chop, be a complete player as opposed to a sack specialist, because I don't think he's ever going to be the 8 to 10 sack a year guy.
I want to ask you about Proctor. We'll finish right here with this one. I'm not worried about him. Matter of fact, I think he's going to be really good between an all-pro center and a guy that's getting better and better at left tackle. I think they're going to be running that left side, and I think he is going to be really good. And he hadn't put the pads on, but he's holding his own out there really well. What do you think?
Proctor's another one that looks good. He looks the role. He does not look fat. He does not look sloppy. He looks agile. He looks in shape. He looks athletic. Good hands, good feet. One thing that I watched, Joe, at this time of the year with the linemen, when they're doing drills, are the coaches constantly making them redo the drill and constantly telling them about hands and feet? We don't see that with Caden Proctor. We see that with other players. You don't see that with Proctor. Proctor does his drills. It's clean. He gets back to the back of the line. You got to like that from a rookie. So I think the floor for Caden Proctor is Juwan James, and I think the ceiling is Laremy Tunsil. I don't think this guy is going to be a bust by any stretch. It's just, will he be a multi-time Pro Bowler? But he's going to be a starter, and he's going to be a good starter, I think.
All right, we're about to say goodbye to the Dolphins for a month, and we know who we always worried about in this month in recent years.
Dave, we can ask him who we're worried about.
Who's the guy you're worried about?
Who's our Tyreek Hills, what he's asking?
Oh, man. I haven't even thought about that. That's a good question. You know what? This seems like a well-behaved team. This is kind of a team.
It does, man. It really does. Like, that's funny.
You might worry about just Proctor just from this is where he got out of shape. This is where he got out of shape.
I'm not worried about Proctor. I'm not worried about Proctor gaining weight. I don't know why.
If he can't keep it under control this year, then they got real problems.
Correct. Right? And thank you. Right. Yeah. The opportunity of a lifetime. Like, this is the year out of all of them that you can't get comfortable. Correct. After you've been in the league for a year, maybe. Right. But yeah, if he comes back overweight, that's a really, really, really bad sign.
Yeah, no.
We haven't identified any knuckleheads yet.
I think the knucklehead club's gone.
The knucklehead. That's my point.
The knuckleheads are gone.
The index. It's all guys trying to make careers right now. Except for obviously a few, veterans who you're not going to worry about at all, anyways. Yeah. So,
Hey, Perk. Right.
Yeah, Jordan Brooks and Brewer. Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Yeah, good leaders. Either one of those guys, and I'll let you run. Either one of those guys or both of them get contracts done before the start of camp.
I think, I don't know. No, I don't think before the start of camp, but I think before the start of the season, they both get them done. Sully seems like a man of substance, and he says that these three guys are the pillars, Achane, Brooks, and Brewer. I think all three of them get contracts. We know Achane has got his. I think Brooks and Brew definitely get their contracts before the season starts.
Perk, thank you, man. Have a great couple of days off. But you got any time to do a little lady chasing, or are you just going to relax and watch TV? If you don't mind me asking, what are you thinking?
No, I'm gonna do a little lady chasing over the weekend, and then on Wednesday I go to San Antonio to visit family. So I'll watch some NBA finals and hang out with family and do some lady chasing down in San Antonio. So
watch that knee. Watch that bad knee while you're chasing those
Man, it's the arthritic left knee, man. I need knee replacement. I'll be limping around, but I'll still be chasing.
Hey, Perk, don't worry. Those older ladies are a little easier to catch, man.
Right. They don't move as fast.
Little
bro.
Ladies.
Right.
Hey, Perk, if you need any recommendations, I've been recently giving them to a couple of guys. If you need anything in that Los Olas area where they're loaded down with women from 50 to 65, just waiting for somebody to come through that door and offer to buy them a drink. So just let me know.
Joe, I'm going to use your name, Los Olas, Brickell, North Miami Beach, and San Antonio. You better work in one of those four locations, bro.
All right. Thanks, Perk. Appreciate it, brother. Thank
you, man.
All right,
man. See y'all.
All right. Hey, listen. Perk. I liked him when he was all night. Now he's not even to midnight.
Well, now Perks, he's
slowing down too. He's part of the old guy club, man. He's joined us.
Or maybe that's just his image right now. He's trying to clean that up.
He might be. You're right. Know? Kyle, down the stretch we go, man. A few mini camp days left here, and then a little bit of break, and then we'll all be out there watching to see what it looks like in the late July, early August. But I do want to ask you, it's funny, everybody got a little different take, and now we've, after a couple OTAs and mini camps, talking about what the team has and doesn't have, but I just think before everybody goes and makes changes and decides what we have at every position, don't we have to put pads on and go through some practices before? I think this is going to be the core of what they build it around, don't you?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And just look at on the offensive side of the ball, and their talking point has been we want to run the ball. We want to be successful running the ball when other teams know we need to run the ball. So these are all parts of a jigsaw puzzle that you got to fit together. And you know, any individual standalone part of it, it's hard to assess as compared to getting everything layered together and putting pads on, exactly like you said. So there's a lot of new faces and a lot of young players. So judging and hitting the panic button here as we turn into early June, I think the time to hit the panic button on some of these spots is if you get bigger bodies of work, you get into August and early September and you don't see growth and improvement and things that are cohesively fitting together, that's, I think, when it's time to really hit the panic button.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I think a lot of this is going to be on the coaching. It goes back to coaching and schemes to get the most out of the talent that you have. I think is going to be huge, and how quickly these guys can figure out what they're doing. I've been trying to be careful, and I went out there, and the passing game was terrible the day I was out there. It was really bad, and they were throwing it every down. There was no running the ball. It was just drop back and either dump it off or try to throw it down the field, and it wasn't very good. But I also realized no running game and no threat of Malik Willis running and trying to throw the ball around. He's got a big arm. That's not a problem. Not to read into it too much. How are you treating the whole thing about, people worried about the edge and our defensive ends and outside linebackers and the pass rush combination and the wide receivers? Do we have enough? Is it too early before we start pushing the panic button for you?
Well, I think we have to enter any one of these conversations with an acceptance that 60% of your salary cap accounting this year is players not on the team, right? So
this is
a year in which you're not maximizing what you are allotted to spend because you are transitioning away from a lot of expensive players. So the byproduct, and we've seen this, a whole bunch of young players, a whole bunch of unproven talent. That's going to lead to a great deal of inconsistency and growing pains. But to your point about the coaching, coaching is all about problem solving, right? What do we have? What do we not have? What are we at risk of? How do we address those risks, and how do we attack with what we have, what we think we can, you know, have success with against somebody else, and what their situation is? So, yeah, when you start playing games, I think it's a major assessment year for the coaching staff to see, you know, what kind of plans they come up with. How do they problem solve if they don't have enough on the edge?
Right.
How do they problem solve if they have struggles and issues with getting separation on the perimeter? Like, those kinds of issues are going to manifest because 61% of your salary cap is players not on the team this year. And how do you try to solve those problems, and how much success do you have when you try to solve those problems? Like, that for me is like the core of what this season is going to be all about, on top of young players and them getting better week over week.
So it's really frustrating, and I get the writers have jobs to do, and I'm not taking shots, and I don't want to fight with anybody over there that's might be upset, but they got to write stuff every day, and I know that. And they got to write what they see. And it doesn't look the way you want it to look yet. And, yep, you know, you're hoping it was going to look better than it does right now. But I agree, man. I mean, they've been very honest. Hafley and John Eric Sullivan have been very honest about, without taking shots at the team, because they're excited about their young guys. But you take away more than half your money is dead cap money right now, and you're limited on what you can do, and you're going to have some of these guys are going to have to be role players and play a part. And when you can't get a rush, you're going to have to blitz, and you might have to blitz more than you really want to blitz to get there if somebody's chewing you up. So, yeah, I think this is all part of the plan here right now of trying to figure out what you have and you don't have. And listen, man, I said this yesterday to Omar the day before, that, hey, our coaches, our assistant coaches, like, Austin Clark is going to stay super positive on everybody. I was with him walking one morning. Oh, no, you just got to give them time. They're going to be great, and he's getting better. I see his hand movement getting better. And I go, you know, these coaches are just made up of, doesn't matter what you give me, I'm going to coach them up. They're going to be good, right? That's their makeup.
Well, yeah, and there's a larger conversation about process versus results, and sports is generally a results-based industry. But if you're in the weeds of it day to day, you can ask almost anybody, and I'm sure you've had these experiences. Like, you got to be focused on just controlling what you can control.
Right.
Right. You got to be focused on, how do I go about my day to day instead of hanging my entire identity and success and failure on what happens in just the game? Because there's another six and a half days throughout the course of the week that is going, that if you're so focused on that 4 hours in the afternoon on Sunday, it's going to affect everything else that you do. And now you're not going to get better as a player, or you're not going to get your players better as a coach. So this season as a whole, you know, there's been all kinds of talk about the schedule and all kinds of talk about the salary cap and all kinds of talk about the talent on the team. It's a year that it's about process. It's how do you establish how the guys go about their business? How do you teach the technique and fundamentals? You know, you're kind of limited as far as what your resources were this offseason. Some guys are going to latch onto that, and they're going to make a leap. And that's the exciting part of this season.
Right.
Some guys might not make a leap, and then you kind of understand where you need to continue to invest. And it'll give you clarity on what it needs to look like in the future.
Yeah. By the way, that's a very good point. We're going to have some guys just flat out don't work out. There's no question. We're not hitting 100% on this whole group, and it's going to be obvious not only to us, it's going to be obvious to every fan out there, like, we're not good enough in that area. And people will write about it when it counts, because the games will count no matter how good you are. They're going to talk about you. Once you're playing against other regular players and it's in a regular season, then we're going to go, okay, he's not good enough, or he's getting better and he looks great. So, yeah, it's just different. And it's different for all of us, because I don't know, even when Brian Flores is here, if we went through anything close to this. Do you agree?
I think the 19 teardown, certainly, maybe you didn't have the salary cap implications, but that 18 team, it was like your two leading receivers, your leading rusher, your quarterback, your top offensive lineman, your two leading sack guys, your leading tackler. It was like Robert Quinn, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, Laramie Tunsil, Kenny Stills. Kenyon Drake, Ryan Tannehill. Like, it was a pretty extreme reset. Maybe the dollars involved weren't as extreme, but I think the exodus of that team, I think this team has a better starting point as far as building blocks and talent than what the 19 team did.
Let me ask you, it's hard to do because it's been the number one topic here because they don't have pads on, so I'm kind of not all over the pass rush and being able to stop the run outside and all those things that people are going to be worried about when we put pads on, and I understand that. But right now, it is time what the things they're allowed to do in OTAs and mini camps is throw the football, and nobody's hitting you, so you can go after it pretty good, not worry about getting hit. So we kind of look at the receiver room. Do we have enough? I know the upside of the rookies, they get a hall pass. One guy's not even going to be back maybe till the second half season. The other guy has just got to get better and learn the new system and stuff. But with the group we have coming back, plus a couple veteran free agents, do we have enough? Do you feel like there could be enough to get through this season with that group and have some success?
I think you could probably look at a six of Malik Washington, Tutu Atwell, and Jalen Tolbert as the veterans and the three rookies that they drafted. And well, maybe Chris Bell starts on the pup, or maybe they keep him on the 53 and put him on IR because however you want to tackle that strategy with a player coming off an injury, right? Like maybe you get a seventh name because one of them starts on the reserve list. I think you can make an argument that group you can roll with and have them learn with Malik Willis and grow with Malik Willis throughout the course of the season and then see what it looks like when you've played 17 games. Would you like to have more of a definitive, quote-unquote, bucket getter against man coverage, somebody who can just route guys up? I certainly think that's something that you would look at this group that's assembled, and that's a question that you have if any of those guys are ready to be that. So I wouldn't necessarily look at it and say, yeah, I love that they're done here. Let's just roll with these guys. But also there's, you know, that it was reported that they had interest in Juwan Jennings in free agency out of San Francisco. He lands in Minnesota. But he signed for $8 million with incentives up to $13 million. Like, they're never going to be in that market this year with what their dollars are. So it might have to be the group. And then if that's the case, then the running game and building the passing game with the play action off the running game and what Malik Willis can do to create outside of structure to help encourage coverage breakdowns and for guys to find open space, those, I think, are the two elements that can help you mask. We've become so acclimated to third foot hits the back of the drop and the ball is out, right? That's become the standard that we've come to expect. But there are some offenses that allow and need their guys to create a little bit more. And I think that's how it's going to have to go, especially this year, because I don't know how many in-structure timing routes you're going to have guys where guys are obviously winning unless you're just out-scheming guys every single week.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the defense alignment inside and the potential improvement of Kenneth Grant, and not only him, but Jordan Phillips, who just looks fantastic. Everybody's been raving about his jump here early on in his second year. But I think we're going to get a lot more out of this second year of this draft than I originally thought with this group. I think Trader's going to have a big role. I think right now he's your number one safety back there. And he's acting like it. He's been with Minka Fitzpatrick all offseason. He's been around. So I just think there'll be a lot of guys. You know, you're talking about the big jump. I think a lot of it's going to come from last year's draft class.
Yeah, it's kind of the sweat equity that those guys put in and the struggles that they had last year. Even if you get a little more than half of those guys to take a monumental leap, like some of them will take a monumental leap, some of them will take a small leap, and some might not take a leap at all. And if you can go above the average kind of curve on how those guys on average across the league distribute, it's going to be really meaningful for you to look at this roster 6 months from now and feel like you have some answers with guys that you feel better about being either impact starters or a reliable role player in sub-package groups who also play special teams. So, I think that's a good call out with the two Maryland guys, Trader and Jordan Phillips. They seem like the ones that are getting a lot of rave reviews. They got rave reviews last summer about their professionalism as young guys and how they go about their business. And it's not a surprise to kind of hear that those two guys are taking the reps from last year and are ready to potentially catapult that into big second seasons as starters.
Is it fair that we talk so much about Chop Robinson year three, Kenneth Grant year two, number one pick, and Savaya Naya at right guard, that obviously those are three high picks that we really need to work out? I don't care who drafted them. We need those guys. They've got some playing time and need to take the next jump. Do you feel good about all three of them?
I feel good about each one of those guys being wired in a way or having enough physical ability to make a leap. I think for Chop, it's about kind of rounding out his skill set and potentially being in a scheme that's a little bit more aggressive up front as compared to being gap control and controlling the line of scrimmage. I think if you can let him attack more, you'll get some more consistency, but he does need to flesh his game out as a whole. And then Kenneth and Jonah are two guys that certainly seem like they're wired the right way, that they have the physical ability right to be anything that they want, right? And I think all three of those guys, it's I understand why there's such a microscope on them, because you have to go back to like 2021 for the last time that the Dolphins had the kind of investments that they ended up making in two first round picks in Grant and Chop, and then what they traded, because they traded 98 to go up and get
right
Jonah, right? Like they had that 2 year gap where, you know, they pick Waddle and Phillips in 21, and then in 22 and 23, that was all veterans, all those premier picks. They either got stripped of those picks or they those were premier picks. So you had this like 3-4 year wait to get premium investments back, and those are the guys that are in house from those picks. So yeah, there's a big time microscope on them. I understand why that is. I think they all have what they need to be very successful NFL players, and I'm excited to see what they do with their chances this year. But the grace period might not be super long because the guys that pick them are not the guys that are here.
No, that's true. You know, I didn't draft you. They did. Exactly. Exactly. Well, anyway, it's going to be an interesting one to watch, and from top to bottom. But I will tell you, the structure of it with the new GM and head coach, I love it. I can't say enough. Straight shooting, hard work, cleaning it up, and let's go. Go out and compete, and that's it. Not worry about other stuff. Not here about anything on or off the field, just playing football right now. That has been really refreshing, and I just feel like every time Halfley and John Eric Sullivan talk, you're getting like straight talk. Whether you're a fan, us, the players, it's coming out straight, man. You're like, okay, I may not like what I'm hearing, but I know where you're coming from, and I know the mess. I feel like they've educated us on the issues that they have and they've had to overcome without ripping anybody. They've been very professional, but and listen, it's not where we want to be, right? I mean, after all these years, but at least it's nice to feel like, and they cleaned house. They had the list out. I know you saw it yesterday to see all the new faces. And by the way, the guys that John Eric Sullivan thought were good, he kept, which I got no problem. Like, okay, I saw you working over the last few months. You're my kind of guy. He didn't just go, nah, you got the smell of Chris Greer, get out of here. So nicely done, man. It was nice to see with the names that came out. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's I think as far as this leadership group, you know, it's just been a presentation of fact. You know, you can present facts and you can present things candidly and clearly and honestly, like you said, without turning it into something bigger or taking shots at anybody or whose fault it is or all that stuff. It's just,
now that's look, our job. You know, that's not
this is where we're at. This is what we got to do. And this is why we're doing it. And you have everything that they've talked about since January, you have seen tangible effort to follow through on, from getting better space against salary cap, right? And the hardest part of that is over. And as of today, they get the reimbursements from Bradley Chubb and Tua Tagovailoa post-June first releases from back in March. So the hard part there is over. Getting more draft capital, we saw the follow through there. You know, getting younger, drafting by volume, all this stuff. You know, Devon Achane's a cornerstone building block. We want to extend him. They've done that.
Yeah.
So I think all that follow through has been great. And you know, it was one of the things I was interested. I asked John Eric Sullivan about that at the NFL Combine, about, you know, transitioning midway through a draft cycle with somebody else's regime and folks that were scouting for different, maybe different criteria, or they used a different language. And I was really impressed by his answer, because his answer was, it all comes back to me. Like, it's all my responsibility to communicate clearly so that everybody has a clear expectation of what I am looking for.
Right.
I love that answer from him, and I thought that was great insight as far as, that's a tough spot for everybody to be put in, to have one guy at the top who's responsible for it. He leaves in November. The new guy comes in January, and in 3 months we got to do a draft, and we're going to pick a dozen players.
Right.
That's a lot on everybody.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, really appreciate it, Kyle. Thank you so much, man. Talk a little bit about this. We'll have a lot more over the next few days, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. And joining us this morning in the middle of mini camps is defensive lineman Zach Sealer. Wow, the years are flying, brother. Ninth year in the league. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys? Thank you for having me, Joe.
Hey, man, it's great to have you on. Hey, I got to take you back to a year ago during camp had started. You guys are out there working, and you were waiting to do interviews, and we're just making small talk. And you said, hey, man, these young guys can be really good. Just give them time, but they've got something to them. And we were talking about how much time you spend with them. And then take you into regular season. We're coming home after the first couple games, and everybody's running all over you guys. And you looked at me. I'll never forget. This after the game, getting on the plane, and you said, those guys are still going to be really good, man. We're going to get this thing figured out. And I went, oh, okay. I mean, you went out of your way to say that to me after, you know, you just played 60 plays. And I was like, hey, man. And by the second half of the season, not only was Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips and Bigger's playing better, but obviously as they played better, you played some of your best football as well. What was it that gave you so much confidence that this group, and I saw you day after day at practice, spending so much time when you guys weren't playing together, talking to them?
Man, Joe, it was just, honestly, it's just seeing that there's obviously a couple things to it, right? Like, you can work hard and you can do everything you can, but like, if you don't have that true love and passion, like, sometimes things just don't click. Now, obviously, if you're a crazy athlete or whatever, it might. But these kids, they got all that it takes. They got the athletics. They got the brains. They got the want to. And they just work. And, like, that's what they've been doing. And then this offseason, you can just tell they've just been putting in the work. They have just been full nose to the grindstone, just trying to get better every day. And they have that love for the game that they just want to be great for themselves and for the team. So it's just been really exciting, and seeing them grow, this being their second offseason, and as well as the new guys that just came in, and seeing them kind of, everyone kind of work together and try to build this thing in the right direction. It's been really, really cool.
Hey, I got to ask you about Jordan Phillips. So I got up close the other day when you guys warm up inside, and I went, holy smokes, that's the best 305 look I've ever seen. If that's all he is right now, that lower body. He looks like, not to take anything away, I know you've talked about him. What have you seen from Jordan Phillips that's got so many people pumped up of what he might look like in year two?
And just the grit, just his understanding of the game now compared to last year, even his, the size, the strength, and just that quicker working, those quick twitch muscles to really be able to pop off the ball and get into people's chest as an old lineman.
And let me ask you about Kenneth Grant. He's a first round pick. You know how we treat first round picks in every NFL city, man. You got to be a franchise player. And so people kind of wondering about Kenneth Grant a little bit. He had his moments and not, and he's a big dude. What have you seen from Kenneth Grant here going into year two and this off season?
Man, just like Jordan and just like Zeke too, like those three really have been kind of just latched together and just really been like trying to figure things out together, and just seeing them grow and keep building to keep working to the, just get to that point where they can really make some explosive plays week in and week out. It shows, and like, and they're making those plays in minicamp, they're making those plays in OTA. So to see that kind of, I guess, come to fruition and kind of keep working together has just been incredible. And I'm really excited for this year with them.
Hey, Zach, a couple days ago, you ran one of my great quotes, man. I ran on the show. You told your young guys, you're here to take my job. That's my job, to not let that happen, and there's no hard feelings. Dude, did you, like, get that out of a book or something? That was outstanding, brother. That was really good.
I appreciate it, Joe. No, I felt that from early on. And, like, you know, in Baltimore, the guys always told you be a sponge and keep learning, keep growing. And I just saw, like, man, I'm like you literally are taking a grown man's job who's got a family, who's got kids, whatever. And that just kind of hit me. And that's what they told me. I'm like, it just kind of hit me. I'm like, dang, that really is, it's like that here. And, like, it's not like normal life where it's like, there's only 31 other jobs out there for us. And if that, you know, so when football is not working out, it's not working out. So you got to do everything in your power to stay in it, stay healthy, stay available, and stay able to just make the plays when they come to you. And that's what those guys are doing, and that's what I have to keep doing. So yeah, that's just how I feel for a long time.
Hey, Zach, the other thing is what you've been through. You weren't a first-round pick. You were released. You came in here I felt like we picked you up, and then all of a sudden you were making plays like the next day as they were looking. A little bit like what's going on with this team right now, man. Jobs are open. And I know you've talked about this, but you took advantage of it, man. You're making plays. You're in the backfield. I mean, it didn't take long, and it was like, this is my chance, and it's really worked out. Have you shared that message with a lot of young guys in the same boat as you're in, trying to get their careers going?
Absolutely. Young guys and air quotes older guys. I know you already kind of took a shot at me, but all right. No, even those third and fourth year guys, yeah, that, you know, that's technically an older guy in the league, but they haven't found their home yet. And that was kind of me, right? I was end of my second year when I got here, but it wasn't that third or fourth year here until, like, I started kind of like starting to find a home here with the Dolphins. And I tell these guys, hey, look, man, it's new, everything top to bottom. Like, these chances are far and few between where, hey, they're open eyed. They're looking for anybody and anything to make a play, to do this, to start to put their trust in somebody. And you got to take advantage of that. That's what I've been telling these guys. So yeah, absolutely. These ops are just so far and few between to be able to take advantage, to work from the start and just to get these guys locked in and show that you can do something in this league and do something every day out here for us as a Dolphins facility and organization.
Hey, let me,
it's been really cool.
Let me ask you about Jeff Hafley, head coach. Everybody's talked about, man, you know where you stand. You know what he expects. It's very clear. It's very direct. This is your third head coach. What's different about Jeff Hafley?
Man, I really appreciate just that direct honesty. Like you just said, it's direct. There's no hard feelings. It's just, hey, you need to be better here, or you're doing good here. Keep focusing on that and work this. And I think that's the best way to learn as a player and to get coached is, hey, look, this is, if you're never told what you're not doing right, how are you supposed to get better?
Yeah,
and if you can't handle that, you can't handle the league. So I love that mindset from Coach Haff, and just the honesty with each one of us day in and day out. We go into these team meetings, and he's working through every side of the ball, and he's teaching receivers and DBs things. It's like, hey, look, you guys, O-line, D-line, this is how this transfers over. Like, if you see, it's all the same game. It's about weight distribution. It's about your feet, and it's about staying square. And kind of understanding that and seeing that, it's actually opened my eyes in a few aspects of the game I didn't realize as well. So it's been really cool, and it's been really exciting to learn from someone like that.
Hey, Zach, you know this probably. The media talk a lot about Chop Robinson. His name comes up year three. We need him. He's got to play better, all those things. We find out recently, and you've known for a while, he's now working with Austin Clark, who's been your defensive line coach for a while. Those guys working together, everybody raves about Austin Clark. I mean, everybody on how good. What makes him so special? Before we talk about Chop Robinson, Austin Clark is a defensive line coach. You've been with him the whole time.
Oh yeah, I'm like, you know how I feel about him, obviously too, and like, and that's, you said it best. And like, to me, it's that day in and day out attention to detail. It's being the same coach, same player every single day, and demanding the most out of your players, no matter what the circumstances are. You can't ask for that, some guy's best on Sunday if you don't ask for it on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. So to put yourself in these tough situations during the week, so when the game comes, it's slower, it slows down, and you're able to take advantage of those situations, that's what you have to do. And he does a great job of simulating that during the week and also putting that kind of pressure on each one of us to get in those scenarios during the week and then making Sundays, you know, slow down.
So he does a great job, and it's the same coach every day. It's that same brutal honesty. It's the technique, the attention to detail that you just have to be successful in this league.
The second part of this is the Chop Robinson, who's in his third year now. Yep. He's a pass rusher out of Penn State. Great pass rushers come out of that school. And I just feel like so much is expected of him. Have you had a chance to talk to him? Because we talk a lot about Chop Robinson.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love Chop. I think he's going to have an amazing season this year. I think he's fully bought into Clark and his teaching and kind of how he sees the game and trying to work with them. And I think it's really cool of us all being in the same room now, and we can work, we can talk and see the game in the same lens. No matter, I mean, obviously you're going to see the same lens to the head coach, the coordinator, but then even on top of that, when you're in your same position room day in and day out 24/7 with each other, you're going to talk about little nuances that you might not got talked about somewhere else. And I think to have the front four of us on the same page as rushers as we attack the offense and stuff like that is going to be really exciting. And I think he's just fully bought in and just ready to go and have a career year this year.
Hey, Zach, I want to ask you another one, a crazy one. I've never talked more than I have this offseason about leadership. Everybody's really into leadership, especially with so many young guys. All offseason we heard about leadership. The coach has been asked about leadership, it seems like, almost every press conference. What makes a great leader, in your opinion? First of all, do you believe you have to be a really good player on the team to be a leader, or it can come from anybody?
I know for a fact it can come from anywhere. And I've learned over the years, just on, like, we've had some amazing leaders through this organization while I've been here. Fitzpatrick comes to mind.
Yeah.
Wow. Calais Campbell. And seeing those guys work and seeing what they do. And, I mean, you know, obviously when Fitzy was here, him and Tua kind of rotated, right?
Right.
And he wasn't starting. He wasn't the guy here the whole time. And I still was, I'm telling you, this day, he's the best locker mate player I've ever had, locker room player I've ever had. It's having that energy. It's taking time to connect with guys. How are you supposed to yell or push a guy or connect with a guy? And as a player, that side-to-side lateral accountability, if you don't have a relationship with them. And I think that's the biggest thing, is building relationships. So when the tough times come, it's not a personal thing. It's, hey, we need this is done. I don't care what it takes or what we need to do. How can I help you? How can I help you? And let's get this done. And you're right. That leadership needs to take charge this year. And that's what the team will absolutely come down to. When the times get tough.
You know, Fitzy, I that's funny you said that. He used to walk out before games, and it looked like seven or eight little puppies behind him, the tight ends, the offensive linemen. It would follow him all around before they wanted to talk to him. And then, like, seven or eight guys from the other teams he'd been on, the Buffalo Bill guys would come over, and I was like, I never seen anything like it. And he'd hold court till he's ready. He goes, all right, guys, I'm going to warm up a little bit. Let's get ready for the game. I'm with you. I've never seen anything like it. Different level, that guy when he talks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you too, why we're on this, and everybody's just talked about this year. It's so young. There's only a handful of you guys from last year, but I thought we kept all the best players from last year and the best leaders from last year. That's just my opinion from up in the booth. But how do you feel about that when you talk about your middle linebackers and you talk about your center and you talk about some of the other positions, still some pretty good, and yourself, pretty good group there?
Yeah, you know, you talk about leaders. You talk about, like, Aaron Brewer, Jordan Brooks. Those guys have just been just absolute workhorses for the team and just amazing guys to be around. And to make that push we did at the end of the year, I know the year didn't end how we wanted, but to make that push to come up and try to even halfway have a chance at a run late in the season after how the first half went, that falls down to leadership. And those guys were the ones that it rode up. And to see them kind of – stay around and to be here and have that energy and bring that juice every single day has been incredible. Obviously we all know the old saying, iron sharpens iron, and to play against Brewer and like all the techniques and everything that he has and brings to the table has been incredible. And I feel we only make each other better. And that goes for Jordan Brooks, A-Chan, all those guys that kind of hung around from last year. So it's been really exciting to kind of work with these guys and see them try to bring along all the young guys in their rooms, and just to make everyone better.
hey, man, you come a long way from that trailer park there, brother. And you and I guess at the time, the girlfriend and the wife, and now two children, bro. How about that, man? Yeah, a lot has changed.
Absolutely blessed. It's gone by in a blink, too, Joe. It's been incredible.
Well, I tell you, all the things you're doing off the field, too, are just fantastic. The videos of the new ranch and some of the stuff you've been doing is just great. So, Zach, thank you. I'll see you out there. I tried to leave you alone because I have such a big mouth, but really appreciate you coming on this morning, and we'll see you soon. But thank you.
Never bothered at all. Thank you, Joe. Have a great day.
All right. Zach Sealer, Dolphins defensive lineman, joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about the team and everything else. Very, very young team. Appreciate that. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff. Big show lined up today as well. We'll get you caught up with a lot of other news around sports as well here in South Florida. But I do want to